ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने ॐ सहनौ भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ब्रह्म अनुचिन्तनम् ब्रह्मानुचिन्तनम् అహమే ఓకే ఫస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ హంబడి ఆస్ యూ వాట్ డి యు లెర్న్ మంచకుడి ఆల్ దీస్ డేస్ సో వాట్ విల్ సే వి కవర్డ్ అ ప్రకరణ వేదాంతిక్ వేదాంత ప్రకరణ గ్రంథ సే వేదాంతిక్ ట్రీటైస్ వేదాంతిక్ మాన్యుయల్ ఓకే మాన్యుయల్ ఈజ్ అ స్మాల్ టెక్స్ట్ రివీలింగ్ the Vedantic vision in a lucid and simple language. Okay, now here, and this Brahma Anusantanam is a text meant for the Vedant. Brahma Anusantanam is a small text consisting of verses meant for contemplation. Okay, small text consisting of verses meant for contemplation. So which text, what is the content? This exclusively for contemplation only. You should know what it is. Therefore, anuchintanam means contemplation. Anuchintanam is a synonym of another noun, anusandhanam. Say
anusandhanam.
అనుచింతనం ఉపాసనం ధ్యానం ఫోర్ వర్డ్స్ ద వర్డ్ ధ్యానం ఇస్ వెరీ పాపులర్ ఇట్ ధ్యానం ధ్యానం ఉపాసనం అనుసంధానం అనుధ్యానం అనుచింతనం ఓకే అనుచింతనం నాట్ సింపుల్ చింతనం చింతనం లిటరలీ మీన్స్ వాట్ థింకింగ్ మైండింగ్ చింతనం మైండింగ్ థింకింగ్ ఈజ్ చింతనం ఇస్ అ జరండ్ అనుచింతనం మీన్స్ మెడిటేటింగ్ contemplating and so it's a gerund implying a noun contemplation meditation is it clear now therefore anusandhanam anu sam the two prefixes are there anu sam the root is dha okay and then dhanam again is a noun anusandhanam ధ్యానం లిటరలీ మీన్స్ ప్లేసింగ్ సంధానం ప్రాపర్లీ ప్లేసింగ్ అనుసంధానం వితౌట్ టేకింగ్ ది అటెన్షన్ అవే కంటిన్యూస్లీ ప్లేసింగ్ అటెన్షన్ ఆఫ్ ది మైండ్ ఇట్స్ కాల్డ్ అనుసంధానం సో అనుసంధానం ఆల్సో మీన్స్ వాట్ మెడిటేటింగ్ మెడిటేషన్ Is it clear? Upasanam also means meditating, meditation. Upasanam, dhyanam, anusandhanam, anuchintanam. Okay? But here, even though we say meditation, is not simply, what is meditation? Focusing attention of the mind on a given object for a length of time is meditation. But when do you call meditation a contemplation? Meditation is, isn't it? Contemplation is meditation. Meditation is a mental activity. Mental activity means what? Purely mental activity, a mere mental activity, wherein body and speech are not involved. In physical activity, in oral activity, mind must be involved. Okay, when you do something physically, you cannot be thinking of something else. You must be consciously doing. If your mind is elsewhere, when you do something physically, you are doing your things mechanically. You are not consciously doing. So consciously doing something physically means mind is involved in physical activity. Consciously speaking what you are speaking means in oral activity mind is involved. Okay? Whereas in mental meditation is a mental activity where mind alone is involved. Body and speech are not involved. Is it clear? But here meditation means constantly, continuously placing attention of the mind on a given object, thereby entertaining the constant flow of continuous flow of similar thoughts to the exclusion of dissimilar thoughts, which means not having thinking of anything else. This is meditation. Therefore meditation is a purely a mental activity. But contemplation is meditation, because contemplation is a mental activity. But any meditation cannot be contemplation. Why? Because contemplation is a meditation, because contemplation is a mental activity. Is it clear? And in contemplation, the object of your focus is your own nature. Object of focus, attention is the truth of the whole, obtaining as your own real nature. Therefore, what is meditated upon, being non-separate from the meditator, you, is it clear? No. In contemplation, the meditator, meditated, subject-object division is not there. Therefore, it is called contemplation. Is it clear? So it's called swarupa anusandhanam. Sva, one's own, swarupa, nature. Anusandhanam. Sva swarupa anusandhanam means contemplation upon one's own real nature. A contemplation upon the abstract, absolute reality obtaining as one's own essential real nature is contemplation. That's why contemplation is meditation, because purely mind is involved, isn't it? Whereas any meditation is not contemplation. Why? Meditation, the object of meditation can be any given object other than yourself. It can be Vishnu's form or Shiva's form or any other form or any mantra or japa. Is it clear? The object of meditation is different from the meditator. Then it is called meditation. The object of meditation is non-different from the meditator, which means its one's own real nature. It is contemplation. Is it clear? And contemplation is also known by another term, swaswarupa anusandhanam. One more word is what? Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam. As a nirguna brahma upasanam. Nididhyasanam nirguna brahma upasanam. And simple meditation, so contemplation means nirguna brahma upasanam, swaswarupa anusandhanam, contemplation. Or you can say saguna brahma dhyanam, saguna brahma upasanam means what? Simply meditation. Meditation upon the Lord in a given form, symbolizing the Lord. Okay, meditation upon the any form, upon the Lord in a given form, symbolizing the Lord, is Saguna Brahma Dhyanam. Okay, Saguna Dhyanam, Saguna Brahma Dhyanam, we said it, like Upasana. But Nirguna Brahma Dhyanam or Swaswarupa Anusandhanam, Nididhyasanam means what? Contemplation. Am I very fast? Okay, Nididhyasanam. Say?
Nididhyasanam.
Swaswarupa Anusandhanam. Nirguna Brahma Dhyanam. Nididhyasanam. All the words mean the same. It means contemplation. Swaswarupanusandhanam, Nirguna Brahma Dhyanam, Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, Swaswarupanusandhanam, Nididhyasanam. All these words mean contemplation. Or generally, if you say Upasanam, Dhyanam, etc., it means meditation. Now, Anuchintanam is what? Meditation. But what is object of meditation? Object of constant, okay, object of meditation happens to be the absolute ultimate reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, the abstract reality. Obtaining as one's own real nature, which is arrived at as one's own real nature, which is recognizable as one's own real nature. Is it clear now? As a truth of this subject, and is what? Brahma, implied by the term Brahma. Therefore, Brahma Anuchintanam means Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, Alirguna Brahma Dhyanam, otherwise called Swaswarupa Anusandhanam, otherwise called Nididhyasanam. Is it clear now? So Brahma Anuchintanam means what? Contemplation. Why? The reality implied with Brahman is arrived at, recognizable as one's own real nature and dwelling upon one's own real nature. Is it clear? This much you should know about the title itself. And after having finished 29 verses of Brahma Anuchintanam, we go back, we don't know what Brahma Anuchintanam means, what teacher I am. Therefore, contemplation, when should we do contemplation? When is contemplation possible? So, contemplation presupposes clear, doubt-free understanding of the nature of reality be obtaining as one's own self. Which means one must have already done Shravanam, must have listened to the unfoldment of the teaching to some extent. Thereby one must have had some understanding of what one's real nature is. You see, what one's real nature is means one must have understood, one should know very clearly this first person singular pronoun I is a substantive used by every individual to refer to one's own self, is definitely an expression of manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am, I, and for which the source is the abstract formless reality which is of the nature of pure consciousness, pure knowledge, which is the existence implied by the term Brahma. Is it clear? That must be very clear. Therefore, contemplation, vidhyasanam, presupposes shravanam. And repeated listening would have helped you resolve the doubts also. Then only nididhyasanam is possible. Otherwise, if you don't know, it doesn't matter. Still, you are understanding what nishravanam is, what mananam is, what nididhyasanam is. Is it clear? Now, people, the big question, how to How long should I be doing Shravanam? Until you understand that you have understood, you have to do Shravanam. If you think, no, I understood, but I have not understood it, do Shravanam again. Continue with Shravanam. I have understood, but I do not know whether I have understood really. It means, do Shravanam for some more time. How long? That is why there is an expression in Sanskritam, Paunaf Punyena Shravanam means, Punaha, we are going to learn in Sanskrit class, okay? Punaha means again. So punaha, punaha, punaha means repeatedly. We say punaha once, it means again. Punaha, punaha, punaha means repeatedly, adverb. Okay, repeatedly means what? Again and again and again and again and again, we keep on listening to the unfoldment of the teacher, words of the Shastra. Listening repeatedly, listening to the unfoldment of the meaning of the words of the Shastram, revealing the nature of the reality, is continuously, systematically, regularly, is called Shravanam. Okay, systematic study means what? Systematic study means continuously, systematically, regularly listening to the unfoldment of the meaning of the words of the Shastram, revealing the nature of the reality, is Shravanam. And once you have done Shravanam for length of time, then Shravanam definitely will bless you with the understanding of the teaching. Once you have the understanding of the teaching, and because there are so many other schools of thought also, there are so many other people, other philosophers, other minds, which all the minds are also given to thinking, and they have their own thinking, they have their own perception, they have their own ways of thinking, isn't it? Therefore, there are many other views of the reality also. Many other views of the universe, of what is, means, universe is means that many people have their own different views of the universe. And then we have no right to deny the views. We cannot deny the views mechanically, isn't it? We don't need to accept the views also, because a view is a contention. A contention is subject to differ from person to person. Understand? And different views of different people regarding the reality and existence of the world, etc., we call it philosophy. If it's a content, philosophy means a view of the truth, isn't it? Reality. So philosophy, the very expression philosophy means what actually? It's a view only, contention only. That is why Vedanta is not even, should not be seen as a philosophy. People say Vedantic philosophy. The want of expression, they use it. I feel itching, but it's okay. Okay, we just ignore it because we can't make them understand how Vedanta is not a philosophy. Philosophy means it's a contention, a view. But for want of expression, they do say Vedantic philosophy. But people who study Vedanta should know Vedanta is a vision. Vision means darshanam. Vision of the abstract fact of the oneness of the reality. Vision of the fact of the non-secondlessness, oneness and non-duality of the reality. Called Advaita Darshanam. So different people have their own views, the contentions. Now any contention is subject to differ from person to person. That is why there are so many views and so many contentions and so many systems of philosophy. And we have no right to deny. We cannot disprove. Okay? We cannot deny. At the same time, we do not have to accept also. And when you have Vedanta, when you make use of Vedanta as a Shastram, as a Pramanam, as a means of valid means of knowledge, and when you operate this Vedanta, the Shabda Pramanam, obtaining the name of the Vedanta Shastram, with the help of the teacher who knows the method of unfoldment, who knows how to handle the words, and being given to this teaching for length of time, and Vedanta Pramanam also should help you see what cannot be seen at all through any other means of knowledge. And the standpoint of what you see when you operate this Vedanta as a Pramanam, the standpoint of that, you can see the limitations, the thinking of other systems of philosophy, other views of other people, philosophers. Is it clear? It's not to hurt them, not to disprove them, not to deny them. It is only for you to be clear about what the fact is. We are never, when you study Vedanta, we are interested in knowing the fact, discovering the fact, knowing the truth for our own moksha. It's not to put down, not to look down upon any other school of thought, or not to argue, not for argument. Only when your goal is moksha, therefore committed to the pursuit of the knowledge, then it becomes a spiritual pursuit. I simply want to study, I want to go and argue with other people, I want to prove that I know more than other people, and I am more right, definitely. Vedanta is the right. I want to, for the sake of argument, means only for intellectual pleasure, I am studying means it becomes an academic pursuit. It is not a spiritual pursuit. Must be very, very clear. Spiritual pursuit means I just want to uplift myself for my own upliftment, for me to make my life really a meaningful life, completely successful life. I am pursuing knowledge as a spiritual pursuit. Is it clear? Let's be very clear. But in being committed to the spiritual pursuit in terms of the attainment of the knowledge itself is what? You understand the value of dharma, and you live a life of dharma, and your living a life of dharma itself is what? Great contribution to the well-being of the society. Is it clear? Because living a life of dharma means you're very conscious. You live your life very consciously, so that you are conscious of not hurting others' feelings, others, etc. Therefore, you naturally you will be world friendly person. You don't have to make efforts to make friends in the world. Naturally, you'll be a friendly person, a lovable person. Why? Because of your commitment not to hurt others. At the same time, you will not be a fool that nobody should know, but you will not accept adharma. Okay? You'll put a step down to say no to adharma. At the same time, because you are committed to live a life of dharma, and you are committed to live a life of ahimsa. Is it clear? These are things which go with study of Vedanta. And as you study, constantly there will be expanding. There is an expansion of the mind, expansion of the understanding. The wider the understanding will be. It's supposed to contribute for the widest vision. Okay? And because other people are there, when they have their own views, and for us not to be shaken by seeing the strength of other people, the people of other views and contentions, seeing the manpower other people have, seeing the money power, manpower, the influence of people of other schools of thought, other views, sometimes because you are living in this world, you may get, you know, little shaken, and for not to be shaken by others' views, for you to be firm in your understanding, the clarity must be firm. So for your own doubt-free, ascertained vision of the fact revealed by the Vedantic Shastram, again repeatedly listening, reliving Shravanam, thereby resolving the doubts you have in what you understood is called Mananam. Okay? And after having the Shravanam and Mananam, and just reliving the teaching, repeatedly dwelling upon the clear doubt to ascertained understanding of the fact that Aham Brahma Asmi is called Nididhyasana. Okay? And here you are taught here how to be contemplative, how you can contemplate upon your own nature. This is called Brahma Anuchintanam. Brahmanuchintanam. Say?
Brahmanuchintanam.
Okay. Ahameva Param Brahma.
Ahameva Param Brahma.
Vasudevakhyamoyayam.
Vasudevakhyamoyayam.
Iti syat nischito mukto.
Iti syat nischito mukto.
Baddhayevanyatha bhavet.
Baddhayevanyatha bhavet.
Ahameva param brahma.
Ahameva param brahma.
Nischitam chitta chintyatam.
Nischitam chitta chintyatam.
Chidrupatvada sangatvat.
Chidrupatvada sangatvat.
Abadhyatvat prayatnatah.
Abadhyatvat prayatnatah.
Ahameva param brahma.
Ahameva param brahma.
Nachaham brahmanah prithak.
Nachaham brahmanah prithak.
Ityevam samupasita.
Ityevam samupasita.
Brahmano brahmanisthitah.
Brahmano brahmanisthitah.
Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam.
Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam.
Chaitanyam cha nirantaram.
Chaitanyam cha nirantaram.
Tad brahmahamiti jnatva.
Tad brahmahamiti jnatva.
Katham varnashrami bhavet.
Katham varnashrami bhavet.
Aham brahmasmi yo veda.
Aham brahmasmi yo veda.
Sasarvam bhavati tvidam.
Sasarvam bhavati tvidam.
Nabhutya ishate devaha.
Nabhutya ishate devaha.
Teshamatma bhavedhisaha.
Teshamatma bhavedhisaha.
Anyosavahamanyosmiti.
Anyosavahamanyosmiti.
Upaste yonyadevatam.
Upaste yonyadevatam.
Nasavedanaro brahma.
Nasavedanaro brahma.
Devanam sadevanam yathapashu.
Sadevanam yathapashu.
Ahamatma nachanyosmi.
Ahamatma nachanyosmi.
Brahmaivaham nashokabhak.
Brahmaivaham nashokabhak.
சச்சிதானந்தரூபோஹம்
நித்யமுக்த ஸ்வபாவவான்
ஆத்மானம் சததம் ப்ரஹ்ம ஆத்மானம் சததம் ப்ரஹ்ம சம்பாவ்ய விஹரந்தி யே நதேஷாம் துஷ்க்ருதம் கிஞ்சித் துஷ்க்ருதோத்தான சாபதஹ ஆத்மானம் சததம் ப்ரஹ்ம சம்பாவ்ய விஹரேத் சுகம் க்ஷணம் ப்ரஹ்மாஹமஸ்மீதி யஃ குர்யாத் ஆத்ம சிந்தனம் தன்மஹா பாதகம் ஹந்தி தமஸ் சூர்யாதயோ யதா தமஸ் சூர்யோதயோ யதா அஜ்ஞானாத் ப்ரஹ்மணோ ஜாதம் ஆகாஶம் புத்புதோபமம் ஆகாஶாத் வாயுருத்பன்னோ வாயோஸ்தேஜஸ் தத்ஃ பயஃ அத்யஸ்ச பிருத்வீ ஜாதா ததோ வ்ரீஹ்யவாதிகம் பிருத்வ்யப்சு பயோ வன்னௌ வன்னிர்வாயோ நபஸ்யஸௌ நபோ ப்யவ்யாக்ருதே தச்ச சுத்தே நபோ ப்யவ்யாக்ருதே தச்ச சுத்தே சுத்தோஸ்மியஹம் ஹரிஹ அஹம் விஷ்ணுரஹம் விஷ்ணு அஹம் விஷ்ணுரஹம் ஹரிஹ கர்த்ருபோக்த்ராதிகம் சர்வம் தத வித்யோத்தமேவ ச அச்யுதோஹம் அனந்தோஹம் கோவிந்தோஹமஹம் ஹரிஹ ஆனந்தோஹமசேஷோஹம் அஜோஹம் அமிருதோஸ்மியஹம் நித்யோஹம் நிர்விகல்போஹம் நிராகாரோஹமௌயயஹ சச்சிதானந்தரூபோஹம் பஞ்சகோஷாதிகோஸ்மியஹம் அகர்த்தாஹமபோக்தாஹம் அசங்கஃ பரமேஸ்வரஹ சதா மத் சந்நிதானேன चेष्टते सर्वमिन्द्रियम् आदिमध्यान्तमुक्तोऽहम् न बद्धोऽहम् कदाचन स्वभावनिर्मलः शुद्धः स एवाहम् न संशयः ब्रह्मैवाहम् न संसारी मुक्तोऽहमिति भावयेत् अशक्नुवन् भावयितुम् वाक्यमेतत् सदाभ्यसेत् यदभ्यासेन तद्भावो भवेद्भ्रमरकीटवत् अत्रापहाय सन्देहम् अभ्यसेत्कृतनिश्चयः ध्यानयोगेन मासैकाद् ब्रह्महत्यां व्यपोहति संवत्सरं सदाभ्यासात् सिद्ध्यष्टकमवाप्नुयात् यावज्जीवं सदाभ्यासात् जीवन्मुक्तो भवेद्यतिः नाहं देहो न च प्राणो नेन्द्रियाणि तथैव च न मनोऽहं न बुद्धिश्च नैव चित्तमहं कृतिः नाहं पृथ्वी न सलिलम् न च वह्निस्तथानिलः न चाकाशो न शब्दश्च न च स्पर्शस्तथा रसः नाहं गन्धो न रूपञ्च न मायाहं न संसृतिः सदा साक्षिस्वरूपत्वात् शिव एवास्मि केवलः मय्येव सकलं जातम् मयि सर्वं प्रतिष्ठितम् मयि सर्वं लयं याति तद्ब्रह्मास्म्यहमद्वयम् सर्वज्ञोऽहम् अनन्तोऽहम् सर्वेशः सर्वशक्तिमान् आनन्दः सत्यबोधोऽहम् इति ब्रह्मानुचिन्तनम् सर्वज्ञोऽहमनन्तोऽहम् सर्वेशः सर्वशक्तिमान् आनन्दः सत्यबोधोऽहम् Iti Brahmanu Chintanam.
Iti Brahmanu Chintanam.
The word reality in English language is used in relative sense. So the reality, otherwise you say the truth. So vastu sad vastu vastu sad vastu. Means the absolute reality. Any cause, any material cause can be looked upon as relative reality. With reference to this chair, here this wood, if you remove the wood from here, there is a meaning of the word wood. The word, the substantive wood, denotes corresponding substance. The substantive wood denotes a corresponding substance called wood. It's called walk. Substantive means walk. Substance means watchium. Okay, walk and watchium. What is the word? What is the meaning of the word? Meaning of the word is vachyam. Word is walk. Chair is a word. I can say wood is the walk. And the substance. Vachyam is what? The wood. You remove the wood from here. And what is the vachyam of the walk? Chair. What is the substance of the substantive chair? There is no substance called chair. Whereas with reference to this wooden chair, there is a substance for the substantive wood. But there is no substance called, there is a substance called wood, but there is no substance called chair. Is it clear? Therefore, with reference to this chair, what is a chair is a word denoting a mere non-substantial form. Is it clear now? Which serves a given purpose and for which that which lends existence to the form chair and the word chair is the substance called wood, and with reference to this chair you say reality is, okay, the wood. Reality is the wood. Therefore we can say this is relative reality. Similarly, with reference to an ornament, gold is the substance, isn't it? Any ornament, gold is the reality, the truth. So gold is the word for which there is a substance, and ornament of a chain is what? Non-substantial form. Chain is a non-substantial form for which the substance is gold. Is it clear? And a substance called gold is the truth, reality with reference to the ornament called chain. Where we say this is all relative reality, relative truth. Only with reference to a chain, gold is the truth. Only with reference to the chair, wood is the truth. But when you say absolute reality, ultimate truth means with reference to this entire objective universe, inclusive of one's own body, mind, sense complex. There is a substance. The substance with reference to the substantive universe or cosmos. So this abstract formless reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge. Okay, the reality with reference to this entire cosmos is what? Is pure consciousness. The consciousness is the substance of the substantive objective universe cosmos. Is it clear now? Which means the universe is non-substantial. Universe or cosmos or world, the objective universe is an expression, is a substantive denoting a non-substantial form. What is substance? Conscious reality is the substance. And what is the reality? Abstract, formless, imperceptible, not an object, not available for objectification, not available for perception, not available for description, not available for conception also. That abstract reality is arrived at only as the truth of the I. And when you arrive at the reality as the truth of the I, and you understand there is a source of manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought, and that you arrive at it, you arrive at the reality only in terms of its nature of knowing. Therefore, the reality is implied by the term jnanam, knowledge. Is it clear? Now you say, so knowledge, so anything, the existence of one's own self or existence of the world also presupposes the manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of thought. Only when there is manifestation of knowledge in the form of a thought, then what? The existence of one's own self is possible, isn't it? The existence of the world also is known. If there is no manifestation of knowledge in terms of I am, then existence of one's own self is not known. The existence of the world also is not known. Not, is it clear? That is why example is what? In deep sleep state, there is no manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, there is no knowledge of the existence of the self. For the knowledge of the existence of one's own self to be there, there must be manifestation of knowledge. Why there is no knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am in deep sleep state? Why you do not know you are in sleep? Of course you are very much there. You cannot go anywhere else. You cannot go anywhere. You cannot disappear because you are the very truth. There is no way of your disappearing. I want to disappear. I'm sorry. The only one thing which cannot disappear at all is yourself. That is why there is a special word in Sanskritam, Achyutaha. That which never slips away is what? Achyutaha. What is that one thing which cannot escape at all, go anywhere, is what? You. You means what? You can say I. When you say I, when I say you, when you say I, you yourself say I, and that what is the substance of the substantive I? Abstract, formless reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, pure existence is the substance of the substantive I. Okay, therefore you are in sleep. You are exactly how you, even in death, even when the death happens also, you continue to be there as how you are in sleep. Even when the entire the dissolution of the universe happens also, the entire universe, the object universe becomes dissolved, Mahapralayam takes place, even then you will be, you are exactly how you are in sleep. Is it clear now? All of us are, all of us were, all of us have been, all of us will ever be like how we are all in sleep. That's why when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Natve vaham jato nasam, natvam neme janadhipaha, nachaiva na bhavishyamaha, sarve vayamatav param. Hey Arjuna, don't worry, there was never a time you were not there, I was not there, these kings were not there. Which means all these kings who are now, they were all there before they were born. You were very much here before you were born. Mean what? Assuming this given physical form, having the, known as by the name Arjuna, you were very much there. Of course, I was also there. There was never a time I was not, you were not, these kings were not. And all of us are now here, even now as one truth. But enjoying different forms, physical forms, enjoying different, being endowed with the different physical forms, endowed with the different minds, the different views, different opinions, with the differences of opinions, difference in the intellectual capacity. Understand now? The different intellect, the different minds, the different physiological systems, different, understand, endowed with different physical form, subtle forms, gross and subtle forms. Even now we are all here as one. And even when all these physical forms and subtle forms will resolve and disintegrate also, we will continue to be there as the one and the only, secondless, partless, indivisible, undivided, whole, the one truth. Is it clear? How many ever waves come and waves exist and waves resolve, the one substance called water continues to be there. Is it clear? Similarly, the grossest example I am giving, and here as the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, and you can never understand what is pure knowledge. You can never understand knowledge as an object. Pure knowledge, pure consciousness, you can never understand as an object of knowledge. But of course, it is recognizable for you as the very truth of the knower I. Are you all seeing what I'm saying? Is it clear? That is how you stumble upon, you arrive at a big leap for you to see there's a formless truth, which is the truth of I have to say helplessly, choicelessly. What choice do you have? I don't want to say wavy's water. I don't like to say wavy's water. I like the wave form, jumping and going around. Of course, the jump, some jumps and goes around all over, but the wave is water. I don't like to say that. Why? Water. The form I like. But fact is, you may like the form. This form has come and now is happily moving around, but it has a time. This wave form will collapse, but what will continue to be there is the substance called water. Is it clear now? The grossest example I'm giving. Similarly, this I, what is that expression I? We all use to refer to our own selves. This I, okay, actually it's a form, subtle form, thought, and it resolves, the expression resolves, the form resolves. expression wave will go when the form wave goes, but what continues to be there is water. Similarly, the expression I resolves, the form I, subtle form thought resolves, what continues to be there is abstract reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Is it clear? This must be very, very clear here. Therefore, there is no truth other than consciousness. Whether you like it or not, I is consciousness. I am consciousness. And this consciousness is not of the nature of formlessness. And consciousness is the only truth, only reality. And there is no parallel to this consciousness. There is nothing which is parallel to this consciousness. Because everything other than consciousness comes and goes, comes and goes. Everything enjoys its existence in consciousness. Therefore, nothing which is parallel to, comparable to consciousness. Anupamat. Okay? Upama means comparable. Can I compare something? For example, we do sometimes, but really speaking, it is, there is no second parallel reality. And not only the second parallel reality, there is nothing other than consciousness is. And it is this consciousness. Consciousness alone is always. When you say consciousness is or is, means what? Consciousness is always. When you say consciousness is beginninglessly, consciousness is endlessly, consciousness is changelessly. Beginningless, endless, therefore changeless. And this consciousness is, we say what? Is always there. Therefore, is means consciousness enjoys existence. Is it clear? Consciousness enjoys existence. What does the consciousness do to be existent? Tell me. Think. Today my teaching is what? Existence. Is my focus on existence today. What does the consciousness, or what other ways the consciousness can be implied by another word, what now? Pure knowledge. Why do we add adjective pure? To distinguish it from manifest knowledge. Is it clear? Consciousness or knowledge, reality obtaining in the form of consciousness or knowledge or awareness. Pure awareness. Can you describe that? Can't describe. Understand? You can only understand. And consciousness now is always. Is means, when do you say it is? Always is means, even when the knowledge of the existence of the self obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am is not there, even then consciousness is. When the manifestation of knowledge obtained from thought in terms of I am is not there, even then consciousness is. Reality in terms of consciousness is. Whenever this knowledge of the existence of self obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am is not there, definitely there cannot be the knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of world is. Knowledge of the existence of the world is not possible at world exists. The knowledge of the existence of the world obtaining in the form of thought in terms of the world is. World cognition. Cognition pertaining to the existence of the world is not possible at all. If there is no knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am, is not there. Okay? Therefore, anything is, when you say, first you must be. I am. must be there. Only then the world is possible. So all I'm telling you, settle fast. Again, I am must be there. Only then world is possible. Do you see the fact right now?
Yes.
Is it clear? I am must be there. Only then world is possible. I mean the knowledge is possible. And the reality, the abstract, formless, imperceptible, inconceivable, indescribable, unobjectifiable, the reality in up to pure knowledge, pure consciousness, pure awareness is always there, even when the knowledge I am is not, even when the knowledge the word is it clear now, which means there, this knowledge is always there means knowledge enjoys existence. Consciousness is always means consciousness enjoys existence. Ease means what? Consciousness enjoys existence. Enjoys existence means how does consciousness exist? Enjoys enjoying its own existence. It means consciousness alone is, even when a thing is there, means consciousness has existence of its own. Therefore, consciousness is, why is consciousness? Why is consciousness? And its own. Why does consciousness enjoy existence of its own? Because enjoying its own existence is its nature. Is it clear now? Therefore, we say consciousness is of the nature of existence. Therefore, existence and consciousness are not two different things. Therefore, we are adding the expression, adjective pure, the word existence and consciousness to distinguish it from the manifest knowledge. Or existence of any form, name and function. Is it clear? Your pure knowledge is pure existence, and because it is, even when the time is not, space is not, even when the no other object is there, consciousness alone is. We say consciousness is free from the time, free from space and free from the object, free from all the limitations. Is it is of the nature of limitlessness, anantam. Is it clear? Chit sat anantam. Chit sat anantam. And we can say chit sat anantam. Is it clear? Therefore it is what now? Pure knowledge. That is why, and this consciousness is one. The only reality. Can you divide consciousness? When a space which enjoys its existence in consciousness itself is one indivisible partless whole. Can you divide the space? Or is space divided? Space is undivided, indivisible. Space which enjoys existence in consciousness itself is what? No, indivisible partless whole. Can you divide? Is it now? Therefore, consciousness is one indivisible partless whole. Now, let me tell you one thing. Therefore, only when this manifestation of knowledge means for the knowledge to become manifest, there must be source of manifestation. Because something cannot come out of nothing. People do think, there are thinkers who do say this. Understand? Nothingness. For anything to come out, there must be already something. From nothingness, something cannot come into existence. Is it clear or not? For anything to come, there must be already the source. source of arrival of something. Is it clear what I'm saying? There must be, for something to come, there must be something before that. A source must be there. Therefore, consciousness is the only source. So, manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought. I am must be there first. Only then the world is possible. Is it clear? The world, the knowledge of the existence of the world, I'm giving you only one example to understand knowledge of anything in the world, any discipline. All the libraries, all the books, all the universities, all knowledge, wherever is. Okay, any knowledge of anything can be reduced to one word, what? The world is. Is it clear now? Knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is dependent on the manifestation of the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am. Because world is ever evident. The world is ever evident. I am the evidence. The knower is the evidence. The known is ever evident. What is the evidence that the world is? No way. I know the world. Is the world evident that you are you, the evidence, you the knower, are the evidence that the world is? For the world is the evident and you are the evidence. What is the evidence that you are? You are evident to whom? The world is evident to you. I am. Am I? Am I evident? Are you evident? Do you need to ask like this? Do you need to ask? Who is the evidence that, what is the evidence that you are? What is the proof that you are here? I, the only proof, I am, I know I am. Thank God. We don't need any libraries, dictionaries, reference, epigraph, refer to the books in library in this afternoon. Look into the meaning of the word. Look into the library books. Let me go for some experiment, x-ray, a scan. I'll be asked this other person whether I am. Thank God. To know that you are, you don't need any means of knowledge. You do not need any means of knowledge that you are. You need not know, nothing in the world needs to be, can be evidence for your existence. Because you are self-evident. Understand, I'm taking you one by one, step by step. Here, how I am self-evident must be become clear now itself. You are the self-evident reality. Because I am the evidence for my own existence. There's no other evidence. What is the evidence that you are? I, the self, am the evidence. Because I know I am. But the world is not world doesn't have existence of its own, and the world is evident to you, and you are self-evident, which means the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am must be there. Only then knowledge of anything in the world is possible. Means knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is possible. When I say the world is, means the knowledge of any object, the form, name, function, actions, the results of actions, the laws which determine the results of actions, and the experience of the results, translation of the results of actions in terms of pairs of opposites, pain, pleasure, loss, gain, success, failure, etc. All forms of experiences itself, all of them come under whatever comes under the category of the objective universe. Other than consciousness, everything else what we experience here, everything should be brought under the category of one word, world, universe, jagat. Therefore, jagat asti, idam asti, yetad asti. This world is, means the knowledge of the existence of the world presupposes the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am. Okay? Therefore, the I am. Now tell me, does the world enjoy existence of its own independently outside of you? Tell me. Can ever the world enjoy existence of its own independently outside of you? The world exists, but when the world exists, without becoming evident to you, that world is as good as non-existent. I'm not saying it is unreal, it is not there at all. It is as good as non-existent. Is it clear? Which means the world does not exist outside of the manifestation of knowledge. The existence of the world presupposes the knowledge of the existence of the world. And knowledge of the existence of the world implies manifestation of the knowledge, okay, obtaining of thought in terms of the world is. And the manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is presupposes the manifestation of the knowledge or the existence of the self in terms of I am. Is it clear? And this manifestation of the knowledge presupposes the existence of the source of manifestation. And the source of manifestation is abstract, formless, all-pervasive, only, secondless, non-dual reality arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing, or implied by the term knowledge or consciousness. We call it pure knowledge to distinguish it from the manifest knowledge. Is it clear? That pure knowledge is of the nature of self-existence. Therefore, it is existence and consciousness are not two different things. Is it clear? Clear or not? It is this pure knowledge which is of the nature of self-existence, which is of the nature of existence, is of the nature of limitlessness, therefore anantam. And I am Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. In which the whole Jagat becomes manifest. The whole universe enjoys existence. In which alone the whole universe becomes unmanifest. Okay, becoming manifest. And becoming unmanifest of this world doesn't happen outside of the reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure existence. Therefore, what is the Aadharaha? Aadharaha. What is a substratum? What is a support? Substance in which the world becomes manifest, world enjoys existence, the world enjoys the status of being existent, again the world becomes unmanifest. Called Jagadadharam. Say, Jagadadharam. And therefore, if this truth be only truth of the universe, there is no truth other than this knowledge. There's no reality other than this pure knowledge, pure consciousness, and pure existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness. Okay? And this reality is what actually the material and the intelligent causes of the universe also is this one and the only reality. And what is that because of which the manifestation of knowledge is possible? What is that because of which the manifest knowledge again can become the unmanifest? We say the power of the reality. The fire is, you only understand the fire. Only when something gets burnt, you understand the power of the fire being burning. Okay? If the light is, you don't understand. When you only, from the standpoint, the opaque things, all the opaque things shine, the standpoint, the shining opaque things, you understand the power of the light being illumining. Is it clear? All the opaque things are not here, and then light is, the light having the capacity to illumine, you will not know. The fire is, when you do not see the fire burning something and destroying into ashes, you cannot know what the power of the fire. Okay? When something gets burnt, it becomes the manifesting medium for what? The power of the fire. Is it clear? When the whole, all the opaque world of objects, what now? Is the means, manifesting medium for the power of illumination. Similarly here, this entire world of objects, including one's body, mind, and complex, is what? A manifesting medium for consciousness. Which means manifesting medium, the manifestation of the... But when I say this, I mean the power. There is a power. And can you explain what the power is, how the power looks? Can you explain what is burning power? You understand the power, how fire is endowed with the power of burning. Isn't it? Inexplicable. The power of the reality, the manifesting power of the reality is looked upon as creative power. Creative power is the reality. The destructive power is reality. The power means the only power of the reality. It is inexplicable. It doesn't have independent existence of its own. At the same time, it is not non-existent. Therefore, it cannot be defined as unreal. It cannot be defined as absolutely real also. Therefore, anirvachaniyam. It is indefinable. Therefore, it is called what? Mithya. It is this power of reality, the source of the power, is looked upon as the powerful, is the satyam, the power is mithya. And this power is looked upon as the material cause of the universe. The source of power is looked upon as the intelligent cause of the universe. Therefore, you give the title in terms of Ishvara, title to the reality. You say, we look at this reality with its power, the powerful reality is looked upon as the intelligent material cause of the universe, therefore he given the Ishvara status. Then you call what? There is no Lord of the universe other than reality. Then the other words are used, Jagannathaha, Jagatpatihi, Jagadishaha, Lokanathaha, Vishwanathaha. Understand? Vishwanathaha, Jagannathaha, Jagadishaha, Jagatpatihi, Lokanathaha. Is it clear? Nathaha means the Lord. With reference to the whole universe, given that title, all these names. Is it clear? Therefore, what I want to say, existence of the world presupposes the existence of consciousness. Existence of consciousness implied by the term Brahman is exist. Brahman is the existence of the world. Existence of water is the existence of the ocean. Finished. Existence of water is the existence of the world. Existence of wood is the existence of the chair. Existence of gold is the existence of ornament. Existence of plastic is the existence of chair. Existence of steel is the existence of cupboard. Existence of consciousness is the existence of time. Existence of consciousness is the existence of space. Existence of consciousness is the existence of any element. Existence of consciousness is the existence of all the elements. Existence of consciousness is the existence of all the elementals. Existence of consciousness is the existence of the living beings. Existence of consciousness is the existence of non-living things. Existence of consciousness is the existence of mobile, immobile, living, non-living, all the things. Existence of consciousness is the existence of actions. Existence of consciousness is the existence of functions. Existence of consciousness is the existence of moments. Existence of consciousness is the existence of experiences. Existence of consciousness is the existence of experience of objects in terms of pain, pleasure, etc. Existence of consciousness is the existence of everything. Therefore, everything is consciousness implied by the term Brahma. Brahman, the consciousness is not anything, not any experience, but every experience, everything here is Brahma. Everything is Brahma means what? The reality, abstract reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure existence, implied by the term Brahma, otherwise called Atma, and Aham that Brahma Asmi. What do you want to identify yourself with? What do you want to identify yourself with? You have choice. I don't want to force you to identify yourself with anything. Now you have choice. What do you want to identify yourself with? Where do you want to resolve your I sins? Whether you want to, you don't want to, it is resolvable only in consciousness. Formless, abstract, all pervasive, only secondless, non-dual reality, consciousness, knowledge, which is of the nature of self-existence, is the only source of I and everything else. Therefore, there is nowhere ultimately this I is resolvable. And then this is a fact. This is not a matter for belief. Now tell me, are you forced to believe this? Or are you expected to, not even expected, okay? It's just told, okay? Fact is revealed by the Upanishad. You are not forced, you are not compelled, you are not mesmerized, you are not emotionally blackmailed, you are not brainwashed, okay? You are not hypnotized, you are just told. If you are sharp enough, You can understand the fact, accept this fact as a fact. If you don't want to accept this fact as a fact, you can continue to be a baby playing with your own world of toys. No problem. Understand? You don't want to accept the fact means you're a baby. Child. Because Shastam says, if you're not able to accept the fact as a fact, you are immature person. You are allowed to be immature. But you can't afford to be immature. Okay? And as a mature person, it is very difficult to deny the fact. It's a fact. The fact, Vedanta, this is the vision of the Vedanta, which is a fact. Fact means, fact is not contention. A fact is a contention, but any contention is not a fact. Fact is definitely a view, but view is not a fact, need not be a fact. All the views and all the contentions are not the facts. Fact is a view, isn't it? From the standpoint of the truth, you see. That is why Vedanta is not a philosophy. Vedanta is not school of thought. Vedanta is what? Vision of the fact of all that is there is only Brahma. When you say it, expression of the vision of the fact, what is only the truth. And the truth happens to be in the form of knowledge. You can say all that is here is only manifestation of knowledge. And something other than knowledge is, you have to say what? Manifestation of knowledge. Knowledge alone is, you can say, knowledge, pure knowledge. Therefore, the whole jagat is manifestation of knowledge, means manifestation of knowledge is pure knowledge. Therefore, you can say all that is here is knowledge. Brahma. In discovering this fact, let's look at this. In discovering this subtlest abstract fact of I am consciousness, everything else is consciousness, simple with term Brahma, nothing which is not Brahma here. Even something called ignorance also resolved in same consciousness. There's no more ignorance. Ignorance is only a term used to indicate the inexplicably subtle, unmanifest power of the reality. Okay? Ignorance is a name used to denote inexplicably imperceptible, subtle power or unmanifest power of the reality. And when the knowledge is manifest, in discovering what I am, what the world is, there is no more ignorance. Is it clear? In total manifestation of knowledge, ignorance resolves. Where is ignorance? Do you see what I'm saying? There is no ignorance. In total manifestation of knowledge in terms of Aham Brahma Asmi, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, Ahamidam Sarvam, there is no ignorance anymore. I have given introduction to the next following verse. After coffee, we'll do the verse, okay? Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.